hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. By the name of Allah the Almighty, we start this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And thank you very much for choosing us. And, of course, this episode to listen to. Today, we're going to speak about friendship and being friend with the good ones. أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان Today, Thursday, 26th of the month of Ramadan, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of March, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen verse 10 of chapter Hujurat, then we come back.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwatun fa'aslihu bayna akhawaykum wattaqullaha la'allakum turhamun.
The believers are but brothers, So make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question treats of relationship amongst believers like that between brothers. The similitude demonstrates a number of points, including the friendship between two brothers is deeply rooted and firm, the friendship between two brothers is bilateral rather than unilateral, friendship is based on innate nature and disposition rather than unworldly and mundane appeals, and two brothers are unanimous before strangers and support each other.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
I told you before, today we're going to speak about being friend with the good ones. For Muslims, Ramadan is the holiest month of the year and is the month where Muslims perform their obligatory fasts. The reasoning behind this fast is to attain piety and improve one's personal relationship with Allah, the Almighty. But this is not the sole purpose of the fast. Fasting during the month of Ramadan is aimed to increase empathy with the less fortunate, to improve relationships with fellow Muslims, to obtain greater self-control, to become more grateful for the sustenance received daily, to become more mindful and to increase acts of charity, good deeds to the underprivileged. So you may be asking yourself, what can I do to support my friends then?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about friendship and association with the righteous. In Islam, friendship and association with righteous individuals are highly valued, as they play a significant role in shaping one's character and spiritual journey. The Quran and Hadith emphasize the importance of choosing friends who encourage righteousness and discourage wrongdoing. Righteous friends are those who help each other in doing good deeds, enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. They inspire one another to seek knowledge, perform virtuous acts, and maintain a strong faith. These friends provide moral support, offer sincere advice, and stand by each other in times of need. They are characterized by honesty, loyalty, and compassion, reflecting the Islamic principle of an-nasiha, that is, sincere advice. Association with the righteous friends fosters spiritual growth by reminding of each other of Allah and encouraging acts of worship. Their company is likened to a light that guides one towards the path of righteousness.
Blessed month, the month of Ramadan, can bring about significant changes, particularly to our individual and social character, and could provide the best remedy to the individual as well as communities. spiritual, moral, and social ills. Therefore, let us take the opportunity to become better individuals, family members, neighbors, and members of the community. We should not forget that extending our support to our social network and people in general, including our parents, elderly, relatives, friends, neighbors, should not be materialistic only, but also intangible by good words via social media in the form of video or voice call or text message or telephone call and etc. Some people, especially our elderly, I mean senior citizens and sick fellows, will be extremely happy if they receive a telephone call or video or voice call via social media. These acts do not cost anything. They are indeed easy to do, will not take much time, and they are very rewarding.
رمضان تجلى وابتسما طوبى للعبد إذا اغتنما فالخير وفير إن صرما ينجي المأثوم من النار. During Ramadan, the shaitan is in chains, and Allah's mercy for a month's reigns. The doors of heaven are open wide, begging for mankind to enter and abide.
Now I introduce some other ways to support our Muslim friends. Have an iftar dinner party. Having an iftar party would be seen as a highly supportive and fun way to accommodate your friend. Aim to have a menu that respects dietary requirements of our friends. For example, Muslims tend to consume a halal diet. Traditionally, Muslims break their fast with dates and water, so giving these to your friend can bring a big smile on their face. And lastly, try to avoid asking your friend why they may not be fasting. Islam permits those who are pregnant, ill, or traveling to be exempt from the fast as a means of ease. So asking this question may be embarrassing for your friend, as they are perhaps not willing or ready to share their reason for not fasting during the holy month of Ramadan.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that a person's character is shaped by their companions. Therefore, it is crucial to surround oneself with righteous individuals who promote good behavior and discourage evil. Righteous friends help maintain a strong spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supporting each other in times of difficulty and celebrating each other's success. They encourage one another to seek forgiveness and perform righteous deeds. These friendships contribute to social harmony by promoting mutual respect, kindness, and justice. They help create a community where individuals support each other in righteousness and discourage wrongdoing. So we see that Islamic teachings reinforce the importance of righteous friendships, emphasizing the need for believers to associate with those who encourage good deeds and discourage evil. These Islamic teachings highlight the value of sincerity, loyalty, and mutual support in friendships.
Dear brother and sister, thank you for listening to this episode, and inshallah we continue. So we leave you in Allah's care and blessings, and fi amanillah.
القلب سما نحو السما مترنما لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان 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 يا حبيب رمضان رمضان ليتك دوما
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am. Yearning for your cure, this humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. As we approach the end of this blessed month of Ramadan, we reflect on two profound teachings from our beloved Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam today. These teachings guide us on how to achieve sincerity, ikhlas, in every aspect of our lives, particularly in our fasting and our connection to Allah. So the first hadith goes like this: Allah has made fasting obligatory as a test for the sincerity of His creation. The second hadith goes like this: Blessed is the one who purifies their actions, knowledge, love, hatred, taking, leaving, speech, silence, actions, and words for the sake of Allah. My God, it's harsh and true, and it's so, transformative. If someone tries to to purify whatever he does, whatever he says, for Allah. So as the month of Ramadan draws to a close, it's the perfect time to reflect on how far we've come in purifying our hearts and actions, and whether we have truly achieved ikhlas, or sincerity, for Allah alone. So let's reflect on the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. First, he mentions purity in actions. Every action we take, whether it's small task or something significant, must be done with the pure intention of seeking Allah's pleasure. For example, when we offer our daily prayers or help someone in need, are we doing it for Allah alone or for worldly recognition by others? And purity in knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge should not be for fame, wealth, or status, what many people do. Rather, it should be for the betterment of oneself, the community, and most importantly, to gain closeness to Allah. So this month of Ramadan, perhaps you've learned something new about your faith. The question is, what's the intention behind that learning? Or you have learned something about, anything, what was the purpose of it? So next he says, purity in love and hatred. Imam Ali salam reminds us that even our emotions, love and hatred, must be aligned with Allah's will. Love those who draw you closer to Him, and distance yourself from things that lead you astray. And next he says, purity in speech and silence. These are things that we can very well practice in the month of Ramadan. Every word we speak should reflect sincerity. Whether you are speaking to a loved one or a stranger, your speech should reflect your commitment to Allah's truth. And inshallah, we would have a true fasting as a way to get close to Allah and get ikhlas and sincerity to Him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. This prominent Egyptian reciter was born in 1905 and passed away in 1978 at the age of 73. He is entitled Malikul Qurra, which means the king of reciters. He had a unique voice. He recited the Quran in a particular fashion, employing the Arabic maqamat to illustrate the words of Allah to the listener. He moved easily between maqamat and never went off tone. Many famous reciters were influenced by the style of this prominent reciter, such as Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna, Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash, and Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is interested in his recitations and has invited Quran reciters to follow his style. Now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Qasas, verses 23 and 24, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولما ورد ما
كتاب الله
dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 23 and 24 of Surah Al-Qasas, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail is reciting the method of recitation of Hamza, the Qira'ah of Hamza. It could be, I'm not sure if it's Khalaf or Khalad, it could be either one. But for the most part, Egyptian reciters use Riwayah of Khalaf on Hamza. And there are certain signs. The most obvious one is the sect. For example, Ma Amadiyana. Sect means making a pause and then continuing without taking a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is sect. And we have it whenever, especially whenever there is a saken letter followed by a hamza. Okay, for example, al-ard would be pronounced like this, al-ard. Of course, in continuation, not on stopping on the word. If you stop on the word, you should do just like tasheel, min al-ard, uli al-amr. Or, for example, in Surah An-Nazi'at, mata'al lakum وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ. Hamza reads وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ with tasheel at the end. If you stop on the word,
yes.
Okay, tasheel takes place. Otherwise, you have to do sect. So this was one sign, sect. Another sign, which is rather strange, is the word يُزْدِرَ الرِّعَى. يُزْ, the sod is pronounced like a zay with tafkhim. Okay, this takes place whenever the sod is sakin or whenever it has a kasra. Okay, for example, in Surah Al-Hamd, Hamza reads it. Actually, I'm not sure if Khalaf at least reads it like this. Zirata alladhina an'amta alayhim. This is Khalaf and Hamza.
That's somehow odd.
That's just like I said, it's really strange. Yuzdira al-ri'a. Actually, it makes it easier when you pronounce, because Sirata alladhina is a lot more difficult than saying Zirata alladhina.
But the word has changed, actually.
Okay, it's something in between a sod and a zay. It's not exactly a pure zay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about common points of tajweed, if you agree.
Let's just mention a few more differences and then we'll go to the common points. We have imala a lot in Hamza. Fasaqi, tawalli, tawalli ila dhil. These are imala. Imala means that it's 50% fatha and 50% kasra.
While in Hafs an Asim, it's pronounced like an aliful mad.
A normal aliful mad, just like the fatha doubled. But in imala, it's halfway between an aliful mad and ya'ul mad. Okay, now let's talk about some of the other rules of tajweed are the same. We also had another difference. We had min dunihumum ra'atayn. In Hafs, it's dunihimum ra'atayn. But in Hamza, the ha has a dhamma. So it's dunihumum ra'atayn in Hamza, just like the way Sheikh Mustafa Ismail recited these verses. We have tafkhim of ra in the phrase dunihumum ra'atayn. Of course, I'm reciting in Hamza. I just recited this phrase in Hamza, just like Mustafa Ismail.
And you're talking about common rules now.
Yes, the common rules. Im ra'atayn, the ra has tafkhim. It means you have to read it with velarization. The ra should be velarized. And velarization means the back of the tongue is raised toward the velum.
Or practically, we can say we pronounce it with the full mouth.
Yes. Ra. Ra.
Ra.
There's no pharyngealization. We only have velarization.
Yes.
We don't say ra. Ra. That would be too much tafkhim.
Yeah, that's difficult.
That's only for the letters of istirla. Okay, another rule which is shared among almost all the riwayat is qalqala, khatubukuma. In most qira'at we have sukun on the ta. Sometimes in certain riwayat, instead of a sukun, there is another haraka. Okay? For example, a letter that has a haraka becomes sakin. As an example, in qalun, wahuwa is always wahwa. The ha gets a sukun.
Wahwa.
Wahwa al-aziz wal-hakim, for example. But in the other riwayas, it's not like that. And we have matul munfasil in the phrase tawalli ila. This is matul munfasil. In Hamza, you have to lengthen it to 6 vowel counts. But in Hafs, you have 3 choices.
Yes.
2, 4, or 5 vowel counts.
Of course, the first time you come across it.
The first time, yes. That's right. And the first time is in this phrase. In the recitation that we listen to Mustafa Ismail, the first time that you come across Matul Munfasil is in this phrase. And so in Hamza, you have to lengthen it to 6 vowel counts, and you have the option to apply sect or not. Okay? Reciters such as Mustafa Ismail, Minshawi, Hassan, these reciters, they usually do sect on the long vowels, both Madul Muttasil and Munfasil. But other reciters, such as Abdul Basit, such as Kamil Yusuf, and if I'm not mistaken, Muhammad Al-Laythi, they don't apply the sect on the long vowels.
You mean after the long vowels?
Yes, after the long vowels. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو
why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghiba.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned.
The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of the awaited Savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And so this is a conversation that occurs between Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and Uthman ibn Sa'id. Of course, Uthman ibn Sa'id, as you know by now, is one of the special companions of the 12th divinely appointed Imam, alayhi salam. In this conversation, we find that there is a passage where Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, in the dialogue, arrives at a point where he has gone into ghaiba, he has gone into concealment, and that Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, alayhi salam, has been martyred. And so, in the dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, says that if the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits me to reappear, I would present truth in the best form and the most illuminated argument and sign, and I would have made myself apparent and established the proof, the hujjah. But the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more dominant and cannot be subverted, and Allah's decision does not change, and the time decided by him does not become apparent. So again, here we find that in this dialogue, there's a lot of theological basis, theological points and concepts about the Shia 12er belief system regarding the 12 divinely appointed Imam that are being put forth. Of course, one of the things that is discussed in the concept of Mahdawiyah and the concept of an awaited Savior, and specifically the 12th divinely appointed Imam, you know, is that whether or not the Imam knows when he is going to reappear. And of course, based upon this passage of this dialogue, it seems like that the 12th divinely appointed Imam also does not know the exact time of his reappearance, but he assures his companion, his special companion, Uthman ibn Sa'id, that if Allah permits me to appear, which of course it means that the reappearance is ultimately in the hands of the Almighty Allah, and we must pray for the hastening of the reappearance, that the Almighty Allah hastens this reappearance and brings it about at a much earlier time or as soon as possible in order to save humanity from the oppression and the darkness that it is facing in the present day. And Imam al-Mahdi, He assures his companion, saying that I will present truth in the best of forms. What a beautiful age to be able to live in when we see His Eminence, the 12th Divinely Appointed Imam, speaking to the masses, showing and presenting truth in the best of forms and bringing forth the most illuminated of arguments and signs, as His Eminence has said. And of course, at the end of the day, we pray to be able to witness such a magnificent event. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Now let's listen to Sister Khalfan, who's going to talk about today's topic.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi Sahib al-Zaman. First of all, this path of treading towards the advent of his zuhur is the path of wilaya, the path that we have to adhere the principles of people who are following this path of perfection. And this is none other than the divine leadership. And how do we go about paving this way is to make the whole society to be a single and unified body. In our surah Alhamd also, which we recite in our daily prayers, we say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the right path. We don't only say, guide me to the right path. We want everyone to be guided, the whole society to be guided. So here we are told to love one another for the sake of Allah. And this is one of the best actions. Even when we recite Dua Nutbah of Imam Zamana, we are actually wanting to call out in this manner that, for example, Hal min mu'inin fa'util al-awila wal-buka? Is there any helper to help me so that I can prolong my cry? That means here I want a helper. I want to be unified with someone to help me cry also. So it's like two people's efforts which are prolonged are more than working independently. And this shows that two people's capacities are tenfold. And Allah likes that unity. And then also, هَلْ مِنْ جَزُوءٍ فَأُسَائِدُ جَزَاءَهَ إِذَا خَلَى. Is there anyone sad that so that I can help him when he's alone? So this is a spiritual grief. I am ready to help someone who is alone. In public and in private, Allah wants us to help one another. This shows that everybody should be unified enough to bring that, the zuhur, closer. So this statement shows that one is ready to render help to the one in the community, even if he be alone. So it doesn't restrict one's relationship to mosques or streets only. Rather, in privacy also, it wants each other to care about one another, to ask about one another. It shows that one should ask around and find out the well-being of a person, ask around with goodwill, and also visit one to their homes. And it shows that one should share the pain with them and also try to solve the pain. There's another statement in the same dua, we call out and we are crying, as Nutbah means to cry and to call out for the reappearance of Imam to be faster. So, هَلْ قَضِيَتْ عَيْنٌ فَسَاءَدَتْهَا عَيْنِي عَلَى الْقَضَىٰ. Is there any eye that is a split so that my eye can take and share some of the pain? So it shows that we want to even share each other's pain.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. And you are listening to the program The Last Savior, which is about the Imam of Time, Imam al-Zamana, Jalla Tala Faraja. And in this program, we give you more and more information about the Imam of Time. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, the one who dies and is ignorant about the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant. And the hadith that we discussed in the beginning of the program is also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Well, to explore more on the topic of Mahdaviyat, we have a special guest in the studio, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we have been talking about Dajjal. We said so far Dajjal could be a human, it could be an entity, could be a phenomenon, whatever it is. In many religions, whosoever stands in front of a prophet, whosoever stands against truth is referred to as Dajjal. Dajjal in itself means enmity, and here as Shias we believe enmity towards Imam. We said that it's not a definite sign of reappearance. However, it's important to know about him because it has been referred to in some of the narrations, also in Shia school of thought. A very few narrations though, and we have been analyzing those narrations with Dr. Ali Alavi. We would like to get more illuminated.
Well, in our recent sessions, we have been talking about two key concepts among the issues and concepts of the time of advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One is Dajjal, the other one is Sufyani, that we shall be talking about Sufyani, inshallah, in details in our upcoming sessions. But in recent series that we have been talking about Dajjal, we have been talking about the narrations of Dajjal, their authentications and the introduction of this entity or this existence, that how is it like and is it among the definite signs of arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? Is it going to be a person or is it a symbol? The viewpoints of different scholars in this regard, that some
right.
scholars believe that it's not going to be a person, rather than it is going to be a symbol. It is going to symbolize lying and symbolize enmity and falsehood.
Yeah.
We looked at the concept of Dajjal in different sources of hadith from Shia and Sunnah and other religions even. We have said that in among the Shia's hadith and narrations, there are very few hadith about Dajjal, but even we looked at some of those few hadiths that we have had.
Yeah.
But we want to say what is going to happen at the end of the day with Dajjal. Who is going to kill or annihilate Dajjal? We said it is what is quite definite is that Dajjal will be killed and will be annihilated at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is something that even the followers of other religions believe in. And they are waiting for their promised savior to come and actually kill or annihilate or finish this Dajjal.
Yeah.
Whatever is the symbol of badness, falsehood, wrongdoing, oppression, tyranny. So this strong power, which dominated the whole world and people by his power, is going to be finished at the time of Muhammad alayhi salam. So who exactly is going to kill this person or this entity or to cut or finish this movement? There are two series of narrations in this regard. Some say that Dajjal is going to be killed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam himself.
Yeah.
In a day of Jum'ah, the seventh day of the week. For example, we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that says, Nowruz is the day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our qa'im, qa'im of Ahlul Bayt, and the Wali al-Amr, victorious over the Dajjal, and will hang him in the synagogue of Kufa. You see, so is a man of synagogue rather than a masjid. Did you take the point? synagogue, not a masjid.
Yeah.
Synagogue of Kufa. So Nowruz is a concept known by majority of people in Middle East. Nowruz is a day of renewal of a new year. It is the day of beginning of new year in Persian calendars.
Right.
And some countries around our country and even in Middle East actually celebrate Nowruz.
Yes.
So Nowruz in our narrations is connected to the concept of Advent of Imam Mahdi.
Right.
So
we
what
have
is
some of the,
strange in this Nowruz that all the narration tells us that we are going to take some good news from Nowruz.
Yes. We'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
Hold me by your hand and please show me the way to be one of the pure and chosen companions, so that I can swear the oath of allegiance. I'll give everything that I love in God's name to avenge the blood of your grandfather Hussein. Every step of the way, my dream will come true. On my last breath, oh Master, I'll call out to you. O Light of Allah, you are my true guide. I'm waiting for you to die by your...
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is IRIB English Radio. And we have been talking about Dajjal. So you were saying that we have a narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that Imam is going to kill Dajjal and is going to hang him. And the synagogue of Kufa, and it may be Nowruz, also a day of Friday. And we were talking about Nowruz as a source of revival, renewal, victory. And also in our, for example, in our cultures, for example, I am from Kashmir, we believe that the repentance of Adam was accepted on Nowruz. In fact, all the prophets who were in trouble, and when they came out from trouble, it was basically on Nowruz. So yeah, it's celebrated across different cultures. And you're saying even this is going to happen on Nowruz as per a tradition from Imam Sadiq.
Yes, Nowruz by itself means new day.
Yeah.
This new day, we Iranian in our calendar, we have this Nowruz that we celebrated at the beginning of our solar calendar. We celebrate this day, at which is the beginning day of the new year. So it usually happens in the springs, and we have lots of narrations that shows the connection of this Nowruz with the arrival and advent of Imam Ali Salam. Again,
right.
So we have this good news of Nowruz and the annihilation of Dajjal in these days by Imam Ali Salam, by Imam Mahdi Ali Salam. So there are some other narrations at the time of the advent of Imam Ali Salam, Imam Mahdi Ali Salam. But this Dajjal is going to be killed by Isa, Jesus the Christ.
All right.
Since he was known as Antichrist. So again, there are some narrations. Then I want to make some, inshallah, good and beautiful conclusions that how we want to say that. So it could be, again, a concept rather than a person. It could be a movement. It could be a country. It could be a current. Or it could be a hegemonic power.
Yeah.
So yes, it is, again, there are some narrations that Isa alayhi salam is going to overcome Dajjal and kill Dajjal. There is hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, the Dajjal will emerge among my nation and will be among them for 40 days, 40 years, 40 nights, and